All right, good to be in God's house tonight, ain't it? Amen. Glad we do have a God that answers prayer. It's a lot of stuff to pray about. And do remember Brother Allen. I tried to talk him out of leaving towards nighttime, but maybe he'll get up there without falling asleep. Too bad. All right, Psalm chapter 13 tonight. Very short chapter. I don't think it should take more than a couple hours to preach thoroughly. Psalm chapter 13. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight in all seriousness about how to survive the wait. And I don't know about you, but one of the worst things in the world I hate to do worse than anything is wait. Amen. My words ain't coming too easy tonight. Shouldn't have took a nap before church time. But at any rate, one thing I really hate to do is wait. Go through a fast food line and have to wait 30 minutes, or especially go into an emergency room. This, I came here because this is an emergency. And I guess from time to time I have just got up and left. It'd be just as comfortable for me to die in my living room as in this waiting room. Amen? But at any rate, I understand when you're waiting. I know what you're waiting for. You're waiting on somebody to do something else. It may or may not be more important, but while you're waiting, something else is getting done. And when we're talking about the Christian life and trying to equate that with the Christian life, God is doing something at all times. And one of the hardest things to do is to wait, especially when you don't see what's going on. You're sitting in the emergency room, or you're sitting at the oil change place, and they've got your car working on it in the garage, or they've got some other person back in the trauma unit working on them. You don't know what's going on back there. If you could go back there and see, you might see some guy with his leg half amputated and bleeding to death, and then you would understand that's a little bit more important than my headache. Yeah. So a lot of times the problem that we have with waiting is that we don't see what exactly is happening. And so in life, especially the Christian life, there's going to be some things going on elsewhere that either is just as important or more important than what you've got going on in your life. And sometimes God is going to make you wait just a little bit. Amen. So the text verse here in chapter 13, verse 1 says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" That's a pretty common prayer, I think, among Christians. Maybe I haven't used those exact words, and maybe you hadn't used those exact words, but we've probably all prayed that prayer before. How long is it going to be, Lord, before you take care of this problem? I think you forgot about me, Lord. Thank you forgot about me. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness and for your grace. And I do thank you, God, for the opportunity to preach. I pray, God, that you had helped me. I've already put a stammering tongue on display here tonight. So I pray, oh God, that you had helped me. I pray that you would give me a clarity of thought and a clearness of speech. And I pray, God, that you'd make up where I lack. And I thank you, God, for everything that you do. I pray, God, you'd help us to learn a few lessons out of this passage of Scripture and help us apply it to our lives. And we'll thank you, God, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's read a little bit. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. All right, there's just a few things to notice here. As I said, I want to preach to you about how to survive the wait. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? Sometimes it does seem forever. Sometimes a day seems forever. If it's a health problem or something like that you've been praying about, it probably does seem forever. I just got a little toothache the other day, and I told Ruth, I said, on my way home, I was down in town. Part of my toothache might have been the fact that I was dealing with the Department of Motor Vehicles. But on the way home, I developed a toothache, and it got up in the top of my head, and you didn't know I had teeth in the top of my head. I didn't either, till my toothache started hurting up there, and then down my back. And I, on riding home, began to pray, God, help me with this. And I didn't want to resort to cocaine or any illegal substances, amen. So I decided to pray about it. And praying about it, it began to hurt even worse. And I thought, man, I need to start repenting of my sins. And I confessed every sin that I've ever done and the sins that have been already under the blood, which might be blasphemy to pray about stuff like that. But I was so desperate that I thought it couldn't end fast enough. I mean, it was just, I've been dealing with an injured neck since 1999 and put some of that pain off and stuff like that. I thought I was pretty good at dealing with pain until I never had a toothache like I had the other day. And I really thought Monday or whatever day it was seemed like it lasted the course of 3 days in one day just because it was an extreme thing. And of course, when it's you, it's a very important thing. When you're sat in a Wednesday night service and you hear people giving out their prayer requests about a sickness or disease of some kind or something like that, it might not sound very important to you at the time, but to the person that's making the prayer request, it's important, and to the person who they're asking you to pray for, it's real important to them. And we think about people who might have a disease, and we think, boy, it'd be bad to be in their shoes. And we picked up this car off the street with the family that lost a child. We thought that'd be very bad. And I was talking to one of the tow truck drivers. He said, well, it's just natural selection. I said, not natural selection. That's a real thing. And when that stuff begins to happen to you, you won't say nothing smart like natural selection or anything like that. It'll be real to you, and the pain you'll feel, and the closer to the situation that you get, of course, the more real it seems, but the more of an emergency it becomes. And if you just, well, I heard about this guy and his family and they're having problems on the mission field or something, and you might think to pray about it once a week maybe, or maybe once a month. If you've got their card on the refrigerator, you might look past the milk, you know, once or twice a month in order to realize that family's, you know, hanging there in need of prayer. But if you were that family on the field or if you're the person going through it, all your needs would be immediate. Amen. I learned as a pastor of a church to pray for other pastors. And then because I was praying for our church members, I learned to pray for other pastors' church members. And those pastors going through the same thing that I was going through, and lo and behold, I've come to the realization that I might be pastoring a little church in Georgia, but the church in Delaware or the church in Pennsylvania or the church in California, their church members are going through the same things, and it's just as real to the people in California as it is to the people in Georgia. And it may seem like a little thing to me to pray for somebody else, but to that person, it's real. And I heard the need, and I prayed about it once or twice, and not that big of a deal. But to the person that's going through it, boy, it is really important. It really seems like days have dragged by and months have dragged by. And it doesn't really matter how long it actually has been that they've had the need. To them, it seems like an eternity. Yeah. And that's what David's going through right here. He says, how long wilt thou forget me? I've got good news for you. God don't forget. He may make you wait a little while, but he does not forget. And like I said before, if you could go back in the emergency room while you're cursing under your breath because you've had to wait for 45 minutes, if you could go back there and peek behind the curtains and see what's going on, there probably is something back there more important than what you've got going on. And you said, well, what I'm going through is a light thing. It's not that important. But even the things you're going through, the things you're having to wait for are probably important. You might go through small things and God teach you big lessons out of it. And that's really what I was talking about praying for other churches, going to little church, not that many problems, didn't have any bills, didn't have anything going on like that. But going through just little things, so, you know, a person gets upset here or there or whatever the case might be, you realize, what in the world? These other pastors are going through these things too. See, I just went through a small thing. But I'm thinking that, you know, all these other pastors and all these other church members, they're going through things just like that. So even if it's not small sometimes, even if it's not big, sometimes we think the small things are going to take forever to resolve. Yep. Well, Lord, I prayed for a new house yesterday. How come it hadn't been built yet? That's the kind of attitude we have most of the time. You know, and with, you know, things doesn't really, if we think that things, we say, well, you're going to be at the revival meeting. Well, if nothing comes up, we use that kind of terminology, stuff that just comes up. Nothing comes up. We reap what we sow. And a lot of things come about after a long period of time. The Lord's long-suffering, is he not?
Yep.
Well, things usually come up in our lives after a long period of reaping, or a long period of sowing. And by the time we start reaping it, we've spent 7 or 8 years building the problem that we're going through, or the situation that we're facing. It may not be a problem per se, but whatever it is that we're facing was built up over a long period of sowing, and it's not just going to disappear like that. You can't spend 7 years making a mess and expect it to be all cleaned up in one day. I will say that we do serve a great God. We serve a merciful God. We serve a long-suffering God, and he will take care of your problems. It's just going to be on his time, not going to be on your time. He says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And then he says this in verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Well, I can give you the quick and easy counsel, or the quick and easy answer to that question. Stop right now. Look what he asked again. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Stop that right now. A lot of the problem that fights against your patience, part of the problem that takes away your patience and takes away your long suffering and causes you to panic when God hasn't taken care of your problems right now is that you're taking counsel from your own soul.
Yeah.
In other words, what he's saying right there is, how long am I going to sit around and think about this and ruminate on this? And how long am I going to try to figure this thing out on my own? See, he's asking God, how long is it going to take you to help me? But in the same breath, he says, how long am I going to sit here and try to figure this out all by myself? And you can't figure it all out by yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Don't ever take counsel from a heart that is grieved. Amen. You got grief in your heart. You're upset, you're depressed, or whatever the case might be. Stop taking counsel from you. You're already messed up. It's evident by the fact that your heart's full of grief.
Yeah.
But Brother Ron was talking about today, this lady took her life last night. She took her cat's lives and her dog's lives and her life, and she almost took a state trooper's life when he opened the car door and got hit by all that stuff she had been messing with, whatever it was. Well, what did she do? She sat around and thought and thought and thought and thought and thought, and guess what? She already had problems. Why is she asking herself the solutions?
Yeah.
And see, when you go down in verse number 5, he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. If you don't know the answer, if you don't know what's going on in God's mind, I gave you the illustration of sitting in a waiting room at the hospital and not knowing what's going on behind the curtains, behind the scenes. If you don't know that in real life, if you don't know what God's doing, then just chalk it up to God's mercy and say, well, I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't know what he's trying to work out in my life, but I know he's merciful. And I know he does remember, and I know he don't forget, and whatever it is, I know he's going to work it out. You call that blind faith. Well, it's better than suicide.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. It's better than giving up. It's better than being defeated. And we talk about being humble and stuff like that, and I believe in humility. It's a Christian virtue, amen, but I don't believe in being defeated. Look what it says in verse number 3. It says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say. See, he's talking about his enemies. Verse number 2, the last part of verse 2, he says, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Well, a lot of the problems, it may not have flesh and blood enemies, but a lot of your problems come from enemies that you can name. It might be a cigarette or a liquor bottle. It might be the temptation of pornography that's causing you the problems that you got. It might be some other vice. It might be some other habit. It might be the devil. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so there's a lot of enemies we've got out there. It might be your own self, amen?
Yep.
It might, again, like I say, how he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? It might be you just convinced yourself that there's no hope. A lot of times I've convinced myself there was a problem when there wasn't any.
Yeah.
Amen. I have to go to the doctor at least once a year for a veterans checkup. And I told my doctor last year, I believe it was, about this problem I've been having. Doctor, I've been having this problem, and I'm not usually one. Ruth gets on to me because I go to the doctor and I don't tell him what's going on. He said, how you feeling? Fine. No, you're supposed to tell him what's going on. So last year I told him about some problems I've been having. He goes, well, that sounds like a good old case of getting old to me. I said, well, these pains I'm having, they feel real to me. It's not psychological. He says, yeah, there's something in your belly called fat, and it starts moving your organs around, and that hurts. And I said, you better be sure about that, because I'll come over here and get you. You're just a doctor. I was a Marine. And if you're telling me a lie about this, I will be back. But sure enough, my belly's getting bigger, and the pains are still there. So I'm taking him at his word, amen? Taking him at his word. But a lot of our stuff just supposed. Amen?
Yeah.
We sit around and suppose things are bad. I think they're talking about me. Well, they might be, they might not be. And what difference does that make anyway? But if you sit around and talk to yourself about that, man, and let me ask you this. What if they are talking about it? What do you need their approval for anyway?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We got in this country right now, people are approval-crazed maniacs.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're black, you don't need white people to approve of you. If you're white, you don't need other people. That argument, that line of thought should have went out the window ages ago, ages and ages and ages ago.
Yeah.
Amen. All you're doing by trying to get somebody else's acceptance is giving them power over you.
Yeah.
That's all there is to that. And you get yourself worked up about stuff that don't even matter. I don't care if you don't like me. Don't care if you don't like me at all. Amen. That's not something. I mean, I hope my wife loves me. I hope my children love me, and I think I've got something to do with that. I mean, the way I treat them, the way I act around them, and beyond that, you know, I kiss Brother Squeaky on the jaw. He still shakes my hand. Amen. Amen. Got a few friends. Have my loved ones. There's not much more to worry about than that. Amen. But we... our own brain. How long shall I take counsel in my own heart? How long are we going to do that? Some of the stuff we could just call up God and say, hey, I don't need that no more. I've been asking you for this or that for so long. Forget about that. Forget about that. And there probably are some things that we need. He says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? But look, he says in verse 3, consider and hear me. O Lord, my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Well, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Take counsel from God's word. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible said God gave gifts to men, and he said he gave those gifts for establishment, for edification, for all these things. Talking about pastors and teachers and evangelists. Ask them. Ask somebody else. We live in such a day. Man, I ain't asking. I don't follow no man. I don't ask nobody. Listen, you're a fool. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. And since the foundation of time, God instituted that men should guide other men. I mean, the same people say, you know, we don't have any need that any man should teach us or anything like that. Hey, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he didn't understand, he said, how can I except some man guide me?
Yeah.
And the Bible said he gave us pastors and teachers and evangelists and the prophets. He said he gave them to us for our edification, to build us up. If you go it alone, you're going to be broken down. You're not going to make it to the place you should be in this life. Amen? And if we can all do it ourselves, what need is there of a ministry? The word ministry is, I mean, just the word itself, ministry, it insinuates the giving out of things, the imparting of things, the administering of things, like a nurse puts a Band-Aid on your little boo-boo. That's ministry.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we, a lot of times we neglect the good things that God gives us, prayer, the Word of God, a pastor. We neglect those things and we choose our own faulty selves and we commune with our own hearts. And David, I'm sure David's a great man of God. David's a man after God's own heart, but he had the same problem. Matter of fact, he was probably half crazy. If you read through the book of Psalms, you find that David talked to himself on a continual basis. I said to my soul, soul, how long will thou be cast down? Well, you have to do that from time to time. Maybe this sermon tonight, as short as it might be and as simple as it might just be a reminder to just examine yourself and say, well, Lord, I've been waiting on this prayer to be answered, or I've been trying to get through this problem or this trial or tribulation or temptation, whatever it is that you're going through. And maybe you think God's not paying attention, but he is. And probably, I don't know for sure, but probably has already answered it in his word. In your life, if you look for it, I mean, get outside your four walls and get out of your comfort zone from time to time. You'll find out God has these things. A grieved heart will often be cured by getting out and dealing with somebody else and seeing what folks are going through. Yeah. And it'll help you. I'm telling you, it'll help you. It'll help you to get outside your comfort zone. And so he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. If you don't know what God's doing behind the scenes, listen. Stop ruminating over it on the inside. Start praying about that. If you don't know the answers, at least trust that God is merciful. Trust that his word will lighten the way, and trust that God does have the answer and will give you the relief that you need. It's hard really to preach a message like this because we all go through we're all alike and we go through the same things. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But it seems like we receive it different or we look at it different. And if you took every person in the room, we're probably all at different, I hate to use the word levels because this is not Dungeons and Dragons. Christianity is not Dungeons and Dragons. But we're all at different levels of understanding and different levels. Some of us have been saved a year, some of us 10 years, some 40 years. So we're not all going to receive things different, but the Word of God's the same. And the Holy Spirit's the same. I'm talking about for your problems, for your trials, for what you're going through, the Holy Spirit's the same for you. He's a comforter. Yeah. He's a comforter for me. I've been saved well over 40 years. He's a comforter for me. And he's also a comforter for you if you've been saved 3 days. And the Word of God is for you. It's for you whether you've been reading it for 40 years, and it's also for you if you've been reading it for a day. If you threw up your hands and say, now, God, I don't know what I'm waiting for here, and I don't know if I should wait anymore. I need some answers. And if you got in the book, he'd give you the answers. He would. You say, how do you know that? Because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. We serve a faithful God. He hasn't forgotten us. Amen? He does. He does. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he will never leave you and never forsake you. That's the God we serve. We may not know all the answers, but we know where to get them at. Amen? It's not in here. Stop doing, you know, I hate to tell people not to think. Amen? Because that's really, I recommend thinking from time to time. But think about the right things, the pure things and the holy things. Think on those things. Stop sitting in a dark room thinking about all your problems and asking yourself how to fix them. You made the mess. You're not going to fix it. Let God fix it. He's a way maker. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness and for your grace and simple little message, God, but it's really needful. It's needful in my heart, and I know it's needful in other folks' hearts as well, and I pray, God, that you would help us to take these truths, apply it to our lives, God, and believe it. God, it's not just another get well quick or another push your emotions down the line and deal with it another day kind of sermon. But it really is a real and a true fact that we can cast our cares upon you, and you do have the answers, and you are faithful, God, to deliver us from our troubles. The Bible says this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I believe that's still the God that we're dealing with here in 2019. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, God, for every person that come out to your house tonight. I pray you'd bless them with a special blessing because they've come. There's some that couldn't come and wanted to come. I pray you'd bless them and be with them. Thank you, God, for all your goodness. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.